Welcome back to Humans of Speedway. I'm Ian Brannan, and in this episode, another chance to listen again to the Speedway Paradise section of our chat with 1992 world champion Gary Havelock. It was a great chat, particularly because Javi was always a rider that I sort of enjoyed watching when I was younger, always going to Bradford, and you know, it was great to chat with him, and yeah, it was every bit the legend I hoped he would be. And we asked him to design his own dream meeting. How would that look? And we ask the same questions to all of our guests, and it's always the last thing that we do in each episode. But in this one, a chance to hear what Javi had to say. If you've not heard it yet, then here are the questions. We ask, which track would he choose purely for the racing? Which stadium would he put that track in? Who would be in his dream 1-7 and why? Who would be the referee? Which rule would he change if he could change any rule? And who would be the opposition for his dream meeting? This has to be an actual team that did exist from some point in history. So we'll find out what he has to say. And we start off with that first question of which track would he choose to race on? Now, at the time we recorded this, we didn't know that they would be about to reinstall the track and relay the track that Javi chooses. But let's kick it off then with that first question. Which track would you choose, Gary Havelock?
Bradford.
Well, you've ridden it enough times.
Yeah.
Just because of what's the attraction of it? Just because you ride fast?
Because it was a big track. It was also a wide track. Speed riders like wide tracks, you know. Tracks that are really wide, if you get into trouble, you've got a bit of chance to get out of it, you know. It was a wide track. It was a fast track. It was banked. In my eyes, all speed tracks should be banked. At least a little bit, you know. And, you know, it was the best pits. It had the best changing rooms. It was.
You just had to watch out for Paul Bentley walking around in them.
That's it.
Yeah. The stadium then that you'd put that track in, I mean, would it stay in Bradford, or would you have that stadium with other surroundings?
Be nice to think you could put it in Wroclaw.
Yeah, if you could. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do that.
What was the atmosphere like that night with you know, from the crowd, from that point of view?
Oh, it was phenomenal. Yeah, it was phenomenal. I mean, although the majority of them were Polish, there was quite a large contingency of English guys. You certainly knew where they were. They had flags and everything. But I'm not sure how many was there. I think it was 45,000 or something like that.
Wow, it's a decent crowd.
Very good crowd, and I mean, when you look back to the days of PC and Ivan, and I think they rode like in Poland when it was 100,000 people.
Yeah,
in some tracks, you
know, it's
just
massive,
mind blowing. Yeah,
it's time to move on to the Javi all time dream team. Then the 1-7, any rider alive or not, no points limits. It's just a free for all. Your all time 1-7. Who's going to be number one?
Per Jonsson.
Yeah. Well, you and he had a lot of great battles.
We did. And we never even really knew each other before Per got injured. After he got injured, and it seeped out how bad he was, and I was like, oh, shit. And I actually wrote him a letter. It was obviously back in the day. There was no phones or internet or texts or anything like that. But I got his address off somebody and wrote him a letter. And apparently, he really cherished it, like, you know.
Oh, that's really nice.
He just said that, I know we were never friends, but we'd never met, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And anyway, whatever, but what an amazing rider.
Yeah.
That guy probably kept his wheels in line better than anybody I can ever remember.
He was fast, wasn't he? And very fast rider.
You know what I said earlier in the thing? Wheels in line equals speed.
And I don't know if you saw, but they were marking the world final, the 1990 world final in Bradford.
Right.
The sort of anniversary of it. The other, I think it was a month or two ago, and
it would have been normally the end of August.
Yeah, they and they named a bus Per Jonsson.
Oh, wicked! Oh, awesome! Did anybody ever take a picture of it and let him know?
I think someone did, yeah.
Oh,
good. And there's another one called Eric Gunderson as well for the
Fantastic.
85 World Final.
Yeah.
So look out for those. Right. Okay, who else we got then?
I don't think anyone at 7 in the world could ever be right without having this guy in Tony Richardson.
Mm.
What a rider.
Again, a guy that I rode against for several years before actually really knowing him.
Yeah.
It was only when I, and it was actually by accident, me and Lee Richardson that year, 99, we signed for Linköping, a team in the Premier League. And that year, each track in that league had an adult track in the Elite League.
Okay.
If you like. So, and it just so happened that Linköping's parent track was Bassana. So they got in touch with me, said, oh, would you fancy coming and ride for us? And blah, blah. I didn't really know what's about, to be honest. I didn't really know who rode for them or anything. So I went up there and rode for them. And like you say, yeah, I stayed about 5 years. Got to know the guys really well and, got some lifelong friends out of it.
Brilliant. Okay, so Tony Rickardson's on there. Mm-hmm. We're doing well with the Swedes so far.
We are, aren't we?
who's next?
Right, who's next is Libidson.
Of course, yeah. And, we know what happened with Lee at the end, of course, from something that we've sort of
really
previously...
bittersweet because it happened at Wroclaw.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. But, I first got to know Lee when he came to Bradford in 99. And he was a real raw then, you know. He'd been riding for Reading and John Davis had got him together and this, that and the other. And it was actually one of these meetings we were riding on a Thursday night in Linköping in the Swedish Premier League. And Lee had asked me if he'd qualified for the World Under 21 final at Voyens. And he'd asked me if I had anything on. And I was like, no, I haven't got any meetings or anything. And they said, there's any chance you'd come with me? So I was like, well, let me make some calls and that. And I was like, yeah. So we got a lift from Sweden to Denmark, and his mechanics turned up with the van and all that. And he won the World Under 21 Championship. And I didn't even know this till years later when I was talking with Mrs. And I remember now when we first got there, we said, oh, let's go have a look at the track. As we were walking, I was looking at the track. I just picked up this there was all pebbles and stuff around where the standing area and stuff. And I see this round pebbly thing, so I thought I'd pick it up. And we got out of the track and I made up some bullshit about it being the lucky stone.
Yeah.
And I gave it to Lee, and I obviously won the World Under 21 Championship. So he kept this fucking lucky stone, for the rest of his life, and his kids have got it now, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really touched me when I heard the story. It was oh, man. And we had some really good times with Lee. And again, Speedway, as amazingly rewarding as it can be, it could also be devastatingly cruel.
Yeah, yeah.
Devastatingly cruel.
It was a huge shock, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible incident, and very hard for everybody.
Yes.
Okay, so Lee Richardson is in your all-time 1-7.
My next one, unfortunately, is going to have to be foreign again.
Okay.
Well, it's going to have to be Greg Hancock.
Well, you can't go wrong. I mean, Greg rode in your farewell meeting, didn't he?
He did, and you know what, when he agreed to do that farewell meeting, when I was organising, getting a bike to ride and all that, and he went, Avi, do us a favour, don't give me number out to anybody. But I went, mate, I don't give anybody's number out to anybody. He said, every man and his dog's trying to get me to do the testimonial and the this open meeting or whatever. And he says, fuck that. He says, I want to fly in, do your meeting, and fly back out. He said, but whatever happens, mate, I'll be there. And that was amazing. Some of the things, when it pissed down, I think it was about heat 6, it absolutely hiked down for about 10 minutes. They had to stop the race and it rained that heavy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was in the bath. I raced down the pits and that. And we got all the riders together and everything. And I was like, look, lads, it's up to you. The rain has stopped by now. I said, obviously, it's to be fucking farewell meeting, blah, blah, blah. But I will completely understand if you don't want to ride, I've ended up fucking injured for the rest of my life. I said, don't want to see any of you. Every single one of them lads went, fuck it, we'll race. We'll ride.
Oh, wow. That's dedication.
It was amazing, yeah. It really was amazing. So, and a man who's won the World Championship 4 times, and at the age of
Was it 46?
Greg Hancock's done things that I don't think any sportsman in any sport will ever do again.
Yeah. Yeah, well, 46, and he was racing beyond that, wasn't he, even?
Yeah, so. Oh, God, he raced beyond that, yeah. Yeah. But it was actually, you know, all right, people will, you'll always get one freak who participates till late in any sport. But not to be the fucking world champion.
Yeah, I know, he was just getting better and better, wasn't he?
Yeah, amazing.
Okay, so Greg is in.
Yeah, and then, obviously, if Greg's in, this next guy has to be in. It was Maciej Janowski.
Yes. Yeah, he's sort of a little protege, isn't he?
Greg's little protege. There's a reason why he's in there, and it's not because of his speedway. Unfortunately, I can't tell you this reason because he promised me not to tell anybody.
Right, okay.
So he's in there because he is one of the most amazing fucking human beings
that cool.
I've ever met. Basically.
All right, so that's five in your all-time team. Two more spaces left. Where are we going next then for the final two?
Okay, I'll fill the rest up with some Brits.
Go on, right. Then.
It's going to be hard this though because I've got like four Brits for two places.
You have to have a race off.
Right. I'm going to put my mate in. Andrew Silver.
Yeah.
Again, a guy who, before we met, we actually disliked each other. And that was just from reading stuff about each other and hearing stuff on the grapevine. When we actually met, we realised we were really good friends, and we've been friends ever since. And he's going through a particularly tough time at the moment, so that's why he's in. One of the most underrated riders ever, you know, and to retire so young as he did and walk away was just like, I don't know. At the time, you think it's a waste of talent, but, you know, looking at me now and Lee Adams and Golub and people like that, like maybe it's the fucking right thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey-ho.
Hey-ho. And last one then?
Last one. It's going to have to be Mark, isn't it? Mark Loram.
Champion. Yeah. Yeah, another Bradford teammate of yours.
Yes. Yeah. And another guy I've known from junior grass track, probably met when we were, probably when I was a teenager and he was 10 or 11, I would have thought.
Wow, it's a long time. Yeah.
We've been friends ever since as well. All the lads who grew up on the grass of our generation pretty much are all still mates. Stoney, Screeny, me, Mark, Chris Louis. There's probably loads more as well. I can think about Sean Wilson, Paul Thorpe. Well, we're not mates with him anymore, but hey.
Right.
Yeah, well, there was a big load of us that grew up at the same time now.
Yeah, grass track was a big scene, wasn't it? I know a lot of
there was no junior speedway then, you know, which was a bit of a bummer, really, when you think about it. Because we did one speedway meet in the year, and that was on Bellevue Hyde Road.
Mm.
And I used to look forward to it so much because it was like going from a bumpy, horrible field to this speedway track, which was like a billiard table. Yeah. There wasn't a ripple on it. It was just amazing. That was like, fuck grass track, I want to be a speed rider.
Mind made up.
Yep.
Okay, so that's your 1-7, an awesome team there. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that.
No.
Best referee then, or your favourite referee, if there is one?
Of the current crop, the only one is Dave Robinson. Yeah. Of the older brigade, Paul Ackroyd was a good ref. He did my testimonial at Bradford for me, and we've been friends ever since. And funnily enough, I actually used to have no problem at all with the one everybody hated. What was he called? He was dead strict.
Frank Ebden. Yeah.
See, I had no problem with Frank Ebden because Frank was like, the rules are, you don't roll at start. If you roll at the start, you'll get a one, and then if you keep rolling at start, you'll get a fucking fine. See, that was great to me with Frank. Rules were the rules, and you know where you stood. It was only the people who were trying to get cheap that I never had a problem with Frank, because I used to sit still at the start. It was the rollers that used to have a problem with Frank. He used to get the fucking rollers, you know what I mean? But rules were, you're not supposed to roll, so why not?
Yeah, when I did the one with Shane Parker, he said that Frank Ebden would definitely not be refereeing his. I think he had a problem with fat because he got through the meeting so quick.
Everybody had a problem with Frank. But like I say, I never had a problem with Frank because most of the time he was always down south. And the fact that he got the meetings over quick, that was all right because we had so fucking far to go home. You know what I mean? We didn't mind that.
If you were going to change one rule, what would it be?
Oh, God.
Anyway.
I would install myself as Speedway Tsar and solve all the fucking problems.
Speedway Tsar Gary Havelock is in command of the sport. That's great. That's a good way of looking at it because you get to change lots of rules with just the one there. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Great. And if we're going to pick one team, any team from all time to race against your All-Star 1-7, what would that be? Which team, which year?
Oh, God. I'd have to say the England touring team, the last England touring team that went to Australia, all those lads. We beat the Aussies 5-2, five test matches to two. And it should have been 6-1 because they cheated in the first one. So, yeah, I put that team.
Wow.
England Lions.
The England Lions as the opposition at Bradford. With the Roslav facilities. I'm sure it'd be a great meeting. Well, thanks very much, Gary, for taking the time and speaking to us. It's been great. And
no problem, Ian. I hope the people enjoy my tales. They were all the good ones that I could repeat. You'll have to do an after 9 o'clock one someday.
We'll have to do one in.
Did you see that one they did with the comedians where they got them drunk? I'll tell you what, like ex speed riders get them drunk, you'd get some absolute crackers.
Maybe one for future. I'll get the lawyers on standby. Gary Havelock, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and thanks for joining us on this episode of Humans of Speedway.
All right, mate. No problem. You take care.
My thanks to Gary Havelock for joining us on this episode of Humans of Speedway. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed chatting to him. It was sort of a bit of a fanboy experience, really, for me. But it was great chatting with Gary, and hopefully we'll see him back around the tracks next season in his new role as being sort of assistant manager for Pool. Don't forget, if you're new to Humans of Speedway, well, first of all, welcome along. We have plenty other episodes for you to check out. In fact, there are 11 by my reckoning. We've got chats with Phil Morris, the race director for the Speedway Grand Prix and Speedway of Nations series. How about a trip inside the referee's box with Chris Durno, talking about what they get up to. Shane Parker, Peter Oakes, Neil Machin, Nigel Pearson, Scott Nichols, among some of the names that you can check out chats with in our series. And if you want to get in touch, then please do as well. You can drop us a line through social media. On Facebook, you just search for Humans of Speedway. And we're on Twitter at Speedway Humans. Is the place to go. Follow us there to get preview clips and find out all the news of upcoming episodes and stuff like that first. Of course, if you have enjoyed it, the best thing that you can do is just tell your friends who are also Speedway fans as well, if they might enjoy it. Spread the word, maybe give us a rating and a review too, wherever you get your podcast. That would also be amazing. And we'll speak to you next time on the next edition of Humans of Speedway.